Okay, let's have a couple moments of silent prayer, rebound if necessary, and we'll get started with our second session. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our freedom, which still allows us to assemble together to study your word. And now, Father, as we start our second hour, we ask that we'd concentrate and that the Holy Spirit will make it real to us. This is our prayer. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Those involved in pivot politics find their solution through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. They are advancing to spiritual maturity. They are using the faith rest drill and the problem-solving devices to handle their problems daily. And we all have many problems every day. I always like to tell folks that, well, that person was crabby, or what's wrong with that person? You have no idea what they've been going through that day, and you don't know what they have in their soul to handle it. So show a little grace, a little impersonal love. But for those that understand the faith rest drill and the problem-solving devices, that's how you should handle your problems every day. If, however, you are involved in power politics, you're using human viewpoint, and you approach what's going on in our nation with compromise and alliance with the enemy. We're not of this world, so they're enemy. I don't mean go out and attack them. Don't say that. Pivot politics emphasizes grace and divine viewpoint. Grace and divine viewpoint. Impersonal love. Problem-solving devices. Faith rest drill. And power politics emphasizes arrogance, self-righteousness, humanism, and change. How many times have you heard that lately? But we got to have change in this country. We got to have change. We got to have change. I know the change that they're asking for is not the change I'm asking for. What change do we see with power politics? Here we go. One, destruction of establishment authority and the proper use of freedom. Two, it destroys freedom in the name of common good. That's happening. Three, by emphasizing change in the name of human good, destroys the essential characteristics of the angelic conflict, freedom. Four, it destroys human freedom by attacking establishment authority. The police is a great example. Personal privacy. Every day you get something in the mail or an email saying they've hacked this, they've taken that, we're giving this away. Have you ever looked up an ad on your phone and then go to your email, or look it up on your email and then go to your phone? There's an ad waiting for you. They know. I'm being serious. It's not an exaggeration. It's weird, kind of spooky. Human freedom by attacking establishment authority, personal privacy, property, and free enterprise. Pivot politics offers solutions without tampering with human freedom. So I got three principles for you here. A pivot of mature believers breaks no laws, sponsors no violence, confiscates no one's property, does not intrude on your privacy, but turns the world upside down through the invisible force of Bible doctrine and the function of the Royal Family Honor Code. You want to turn the world upside down? There you go. And the Royal Family Honor Code's been taught here at least three times, probably closer to five. It's available. Here's the next principle. Power politics is the believer on a crusade, full of scar tissue of the soul, with locked-in arrogance, filled with self-righteousness, parlaying human good into evil. Nothing like a self-righteous, arrogant Christian. Our third principle, power politics uses human good to produce evil. Pivot politics uses Bible doctrines to produce divine good. Pivot politics is addressed in Scripture by salt as a preservative. By the way, that's in Matthew 5:13 and Mark 9, verse 50. So pivot politics is addressed in Scripture by salt as a preservative. You're the salt of this nation. That's a great study too. You are the preservative of this nation. And power politics by leaven, because it corrupts. Look that up in 1 Corinthians 5:7. It's just one verse. There's many more. Principle, the advancing believer must never forget that Jesus Christ controls history, and advancing to spiritual maturity is your number one priority. You want to be the salt that preserves this nation? There you go. That's your principle. Print that and hang it on your refrigerator. Each believer must choose for involvement in the plan of God or try to improve Satan's world through human systems. Do you think by using human systems you can change one thing in this nation, in this world? You can't. The pivot uses Bible doctrine to produce divine good. Those involved in power politics use human good to produce evil. Political solutions are useless in a nation without spiritual solutions. Come up with all you want. Without a spiritual solution, we're doomed to fail. And what makes political solutions great? Here it is, the invisible heroship of a pivot of mature believers. And that's how we help the nation right there. Turn the world upside down. You know, the world's watching you, and you're different. And if you're using the Word of God in the problem-solving devices, the faith rest drill, if you're using those things, they're going to notice. They won't be able to figure out what's going on. There might just be an opportunity to present the gospel. Because you're going to set yourself apart. It's going to be like you're an exclusive club, and you are. And that's not politically correct today. But if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're in an exclusive club. You only can get in it one way, by becoming a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The world doesn't like that. They want everybody to be equal in the same club. They can't be in the club if they can't accept Christ as their Savior. Makes you hated. Political solutions are temporal. Spiritual solutions are eternal. Political solutions relate to the power of man. Spiritual solutions relate to the power of God. We lose sight of that, don't we? Because we think one man or one woman or one group is going to change everything for our benefit, for our good. But spiritual solutions relate to the power of God, and that's who's going to change something if there's enough of you in the pivot. Today we see political solutions that are often erroneous and destructive to a nation, while spiritual solutions offer no hope to a nation and eternal life to individuals within that nation. I'm going to read that again. While spiritual solutions offer hope to a nation and eternal life to individuals within that nation. Arrogant leaders who become self-righteous lead the nation down a path of destruction. However, we know that nations are destroyed for a lack of Bible doctrine. Hosea 4, 1 through 7 and Hosea 8, 7. Hosea 4, 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. Where does knowledge come from? Study the Word of God. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my priest. Since you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. If you want to have an impact on your children's lives later on, grow in grace. Plant the colors where they've never been planted on Mount Pleroma. Spiritual maturity. You say, well, I just want to leave them a nation like I grew up in. Get the Bible class. Take in Bible doctrine. Grow in grace. That's what you need to be doing. Hosea 8:7a. For they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Principle, rejection of Bible doctrine leads to the destruction of a client nation. Everything depends on your attitude toward Bible doctrine. Now, as we get ready to go into some good news for us, let's take a look at our nation from 1946 to 2024. The end of World War II to where we're at today. The generation from 1946 to 1966 represent those born during the baby boom following World War II. During this 20-year period, this group set the stage for the social rebellion, perversion, and arrogance that manifested itself in the mid-60s. This was during the Johnson administration, the opposition to and mismanagement of the Vietnam War, and the war on poverty, the latter setting up the entitlement mentality we suffer today. And then the generation from 1966 to 1986 is characterized by its self-righteous justification for its arrogance. This group indulged in drugs, sex, heavy metal, rock and roll. The Nixon administration took us off the gold standard. Jimmy Carter ushered in 20% interest rates, and Ronald Reagan put an end to the Cold War. During this time, the underlying attitude of anything goes reached maturity in the minds of anti-authoritarians. The next generation from 1986 to 2006, I hope you're slotting yourself in here as we go through this, adopted the signs of the previous two generations and as a result displays locked-in arrogance. During this period, we witnessed the emergence of open assaults on the Constitution. George Bush, number one, began to drop the phrase, a new world order, into his speeches. Attacks on the divine institutions gained great momentum during the Clinton administration and George Bush II. And George Bush II started two wars without any identifiable enemy. Guerrillas, hit-and-run artists, sans uniforms, and national identity continue to run amok while our warriors remained restricted in our third world quagmire. The generation from 2006 to today have compounded the sins of the previous three to become the most corrupt of the bunch. We are primed to suffer the destruction of our economic system, redefinition of the divine institutions. I don't know about you, but you cannot recognize marriage today, or male or female. I can recognize because I realize there's only two. But they put cat litters in junior high schools so people who identify as a cat can go to the bathroom in a cat litter. I know that firsthand from my granddaughter Isabella. Firsthand, they wear tails to school and they use the litter box in the ladies' bathroom. Because they identify it, they got to put it in there. You tell me divine institutions are not under attack. And the dismantling of the Constitution, we got to change the Supreme Court because I didn't get my way over here. These people follow the Constitution, but it's a living Constitution. So therefore, we need to put 10 more people on there, and that'll be my 10 people. Where does it end? God controls history. That's where it ends. He takes care of it if we do our duty. And the dismantling of the Constitution while honor, decency, and shame take a holiday. We are also seeing the destruction of the family and the traditional understanding of male and female happening right before our very eyes. So let's look at some final points on where we are as a nation and why politicians cannot save this nation. One, the leaders in our country are willing to get what they want through deceit and delusion, camouflaged by rhetorical veils that appeal to the masses. They get what they want through deceit and delusion. I'll say what they want to hear. Oh, I'll do something if it gets me reelected. You got a student debt, I'll forgive it all, because that'll get me that vote. Two, our system of justice is administered by those who are in bed with the criminal element. And we have a two-tiered system of justice in our country today. Four, our executive branch now uses its power to circumvent the restraints of the Constitution to impose its nefarious schemes upon a defenseless population. I missed three. Congress is corrupted by those who use their power to promote themselves rather than the people they serve. I told you that in the first hour. It's true. You can't deny any of these. Five, and finally, we're seeing anti-Semitism rise up in this nation like never before. And it results in liability to personal and national discipline from the Supreme Court of Heaven. Genesis 12:3. Like never before. And by the way, God doesn't need our help in discipline Israel. He can take care of that on his own. So we've looked at where we're at as a nation and what we've become. Now it's time to cheer you up and remind you of some things you may have forgotten. Our first principle is life is not a losing battle for the believer in Jesus Christ, growing in grace. It's not a losing battle. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:27, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's encouraging. We can never forget that God controls history. Our job is to fulfill God's plan for our lives and let God take care of the details. If we're doing our duty and this country falls, he will either bring us home to be with him or bring us through the fire. There's another encouragement for you. He's going to bring us through it or take us home, absent from the body, face to face with the Lord. So how does God control history? Well, here's some things you can think about. One, he controls history through the function of his divine essence. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's perfect justice, love. Man, that's how he does it. He controls history as a judge of the Supreme Court of Heaven. And it's in session 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He controls history through the pivot of mature believers in a client nation. If we get serious and get with it, guess what? Gives you something to use, something to think about. I use that figuratively, and he's not up there going, I got something to think about. He controls history through the utilization of the wrath of man to praise him. I bet you didn't know that. Look up Psalm 76:10. For the wrath of man shall praise you, it says. In Psalm 76:10. He controls history through the preservation of Israel against all anti-Semitism functions, both satanic and sin nature conspiracy. He's got it under control, folks. And you know what else? You look at this and you say, the wrath of man to praise him. I told you this last week, Christianity grows during times of crisis. So we may have to get really down in the mud before we see Christianity take off and people get serious. For the wrath of man shall praise you. But during prosperity, Christianity seems to die off. We can't pass the prosperity testing. Six, he controls history through the preservation of planet Earth during the course of human history. No matter how many electric cars we have or don't have, or windmills we have or don't have, it doesn't matter. Here's a subpoint. He not only created the universe, we see that in Hebrews 1:10, but he also holds the universe together by the word of his power, Hebrews 1:3. And I'll read it for you. And he is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Are you going to lose any sleep tonight? Just lay there in bed and go over that verse in your head. That'll put you right to sleep with a relaxed mental attitude. By the control of history, Jesus Christ provides freedom for the function of human volition. And once we become believers in Jesus Christ, we enter into the royal family of God. And at the same time, we become a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. We're his representative. Think about that when you act in a certain way or doing a certain thing. You're his representatives. And oh, by the way, the angels are watching. They learn from us. Each believer is royal family of God, representing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords during his or her tenure on this earth. Ladies and gentlemen, you represent the King of Kings while you're alive on this earth. It's an awesome responsibility. Principle, we represent ourselves before God and we represent God before men. We lose track of that. So what's an ambassador? It's a high-ranking minister or royalty sent to another country to represent his home country. We're an ambassador for Christ in this country. As an ambassador of God, he gives us the power and ability to handle the job since we are appointed by God himself at the moment we believe in Jesus Christ. He appoints us. He gives us the tools. We are provided for by logistical grace and have our written instructions in the form of the completed canon of Scripture, the mind of Christ. Right here. Those are our written instructions. And you know what else? He provides teachers like Joe Griffin, like Colonel Thiem, like Bobby Thiem, to stand in pulpits across America and to teach the very mind of Christ for us who are positive to take advantage of. The written instruction includes the problem-solving devices and all the imperative moods in Scripture. Do this, don't do that. Do this, better not do that. That's imperative moods in Scripture. Say, I love God. If you love him, do you know his commandments? That's what he asks in 1 John. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you don't know what they are, how can you keep them? The written instruction includes the problem-solving devices, all the imperative moods, principles, doctrines, etc. It's all right there for us. Never forget the ambassador does not belong to the country in which he is sent. And we do not belong here. Our citizenship and home is in heaven. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which also we eagerly wait for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Our home's in heaven. We're just passing through. Think of eternity compared to 70, 80, 90 years here. I bet if I asked how many people know somebody 120, no hands would go up. No one knows anybody, I'm sure, 110, 115, 105. You may know somebody at 100. The point is this. That's not very long. Think of all the sand on a beach and pick out one little piece of sand. That's what eternity is going to be like. We have the greatest opportunity for happiness in all of human history if we execute the unique spiritual life in the midst of chaos in our nation today. To be alive during a time when all the divine institutions are under attack and our nation heading for destruction, it gives us the opportunity for maximum use of our spiritual life and the greatest opportunity for glorifying God and the happiness that goes along with it. This glorification of God comes from advancing to the high ground of Mount Pleroma status and adding to it the tremendous happiness that comes from trusting the Lord in times of great adversity. That's now. We must do our duty and advance to spiritual maturity. And this requires the following: momentum, the daily intake of the teaching of the Word of God. 2, motivation, which comes from personal love for God, which is our motivational virtue, which is the motivation to continue to learn the Word of God, Bible doctrine. So you need momentum and motivation. Personal love for God through learning the Word of God takes us to Mount Pleroma, the Greek word for the great blessings God has for us in time, and to a personal sense of destiny, and to maximum glorification of God, and to occupation with Christ. Problem-solving devices number 9 and number 10. The combination of these things result in the greatest happiness known to man. You think you're happy now? Start sharing the happiness of God. It's something you've never, ever thought. It's greater than anything you could ever imagine. 3, protection from the grace of God provided for us in eternity past and given to us now in our time of need. The grace of God is here. We have logistical grace, and we'll have dying grace. We have living grace, which is known as logistical grace. It provides for us in this time. You ought to be encouraged. So watch what's going on. Look at what he's promised me. And then power through the filling of the Holy Spirit, who is our mentor, our teacher, and brings to our memory the things we have forgotten. It will help you recall those promises in a time of need. With great adversity in our nation, Bible doctrine and reciprocal love for God combined with grace under the power of God the Holy Spirit and results in fulfillment of the unique spiritual life. Another principle for you: advance to the high ground of spiritual maturity by the believer is necessary for the preservation of Client Nation USA. Therefore, we should look forward to the challenges that come from a nation being destroyed. Look forward to it. The great blessings that will come from those of us who stay the course. You know, we have logistical grace. Not going to take the Holy Spirit away from us. If you're in fellowship, he's going to help you remember the things you need to remember. So we should look forward to the challenges that come from a nation being destroyed. If we advance to spiritual maturity, we can look back and thank God that we found true happiness in the greatest disaster in American history. If it fails, you're brought through it. Wow. The happiness you come out on the other side, and you'll say, thank you, Lord, for letting me go through this. What an amazing time to be alive. And you let me see it all from the rocking chair on my front porch. The following sums this up. When the believer uses divine assets under extreme stress, not only in God's perfection demonstrated to Satan, but the marvel of God's grace is also made dramatically clear to the mature believer himself. His occupation with the person of Christ sustains all inner happiness that is the greatest of all problem-solving devices. Whether enjoying prosperity or coping with adversity, the mature believer has access to all the problem-solving devices of the entire divine dynasphere. Using the tremendous assets of his palace, he sustains his spiritual momentum throughout his life and handles suffering with such confidence that he becomes a maximum demonstration of God's perfect grace and integrity. R.B. Thiem Jr., Christian Suffering, 3rd edition, page 15. Wouldn't you like to be that person? He sustains his spiritual momentum throughout his life and handles suffering with such confidence that he becomes a maximum demonstration of God's perfect grace and integrity. True happiness is not associated with what's going on around us or to our circumstances. It occurs when the believer fulfills the plan of God for his life. This happiness is made available by learning the details that plan revealed only in the Word of God. 1 John 1:4, we write these things to you in order that your state of happiness, kara, might be complete. Happiness is the ultimate problem-solving device as demonstrated by our Lord in Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. If we persevere under the current national downtrend and stay loyal to doctrine, it produces blessings from God. James 5:11. We consider happy makarizo, the ones having endured. You have heard of Job's perseverance. You have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The word we translate happy in James 5:11 is not kara, but the verb makarizo, which is translated blessed. In all the major English translations, with the exception of King James, which happens to get it right, the special feature of makarizo in the New Testament is that it refers overwhelmingly to the distinctive joy which accrues to man. Thus, the verb is used of the blessing in James 5:11 of the righteous who endure. So, there's blessing if you can endure. Integrity, which is loyalty to doctrine in all circumstances, demands that the believer stand fast. Therefore, loyalty to truth accrues happiness from the source of divine blessing. 1 Peter 13, who is going to harm you if you are devoted to what is good? Verse 14, but in fact, if you happen to suffer for doing what is right, blessed, the plural of the noun makaros, happiness, are you. But do not be terrified of them or be shaken. Nothing to be afraid of. Trusting in God through loyalty to his word allows the Father to make you happy by means of divine blessings, regardless of what's happening in our country. Romans 15:13, may the God of confidence fill you with great happiness and prosperity as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with confidence by means of the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. The psalmist often commented on the status of happiness. We see that in Psalm 100, verse 2. Serve the Lord with superabundance of happiness. That's simchah. Come before him with joyful exuberance. So true happiness is an inner resource that is not affected by anything externally from the world. Are you there or nothing bothers you from this world? It is the only staying power comes from Bible doctrine that can lead a person to the status of inner happiness. Philippians 3:1, keep on having inner happiness in the Lord. To be writing the same things again, Paul's already used these words, kairo and suneko, five times in the epistle. So to be writing the same things again to you, on the one hand, is not troublesome, while on the other hand, it is a safeguard from falling into reversionism for you. Philippians 4:4, keep on having inner happiness in the Lord at all times. Once more, I repeat the command, keep on having inner happiness. If you want to fulfill Paul's command, it means that we must make the commitment to appropriate time for and interest in the concentration on the daily intake of Scripture under the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. It's where it always ends up. This process, if pursued without wavering, will lead us to the possession and utilization of the same problem-solving devices that provided our Lord with the great staying power to complete his work for our so great salvation on the cross. His staying power was enabled by the presence of unwavering happiness in his soul, so that nothing associated with the imputation or the judgment caused him to lose that happiness. He's our prototype. He's our example. We just need to follow it. Never forget, the only thing that changes this world is the peace that surpasses all understanding. Philippians 4:7 starts with Bible doctrine in your soul. You are the instrument of change, but only by what's in your soul. Toward those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ, Satan administers a cosmic system to prevent, impede, and reverse your spiritual growth. Never, ever forget that. You must become a warrior in the angelic conflict. Jesus' message is to persevere until the end, and you need to fulfill his plan for your life regardless of the circumstances. You are an ambassador in a foreign land, and we can have a relationship with those in the cosmic system, but we cannot compromise with them. Flexibility and tolerance do not imply leniency or acceptance of the erroneous thoughts and actions of others. Believers must, through wisdom, remain flexible regarding the non-essentials, but stand fast and remain inflexible regarding the essentials. And why would you want to consort with the enemy anyway? It is treasonous to God when you try to compromise with the world. When you compromise with the world, you become part of it. We must stay away from anti-Semitism because that brings cursing from God. Genesis 12:3, and I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Survival of the United States will take evangelism, positive volition toward Bible doctrine, and the function of the protocol plan of God. Only through habitual love for God and a personal desire to learn and apply his word can the believer have the invisible historical impact that our nation's current circumstance requires. The final principle, the communication of the word of God and gospel, never returns void. It will get a response because it's truth. There's remuneration to the communication, and remuneration far exceeds the renunciation. What is the remuneration? External rewards. It's our job, and you leave someone to Christ and you have a friend for life. Some will reject it, but never forget it's our job. Real change in this nation will come from evangelism and Bible doctrine in the soul, and it's individual by individual change. It comes from the inside out, not the outside in. Plant the colors where the colors never flew, the spiritual high ground of Mount Pleroma. As goes the believer, so goes the client nation to God. And as we get ready to close here, the current situation in the United States is not hopeless, but circumstances are metastasizing toward probable crisis stage. The conflict of visions between the traditional and progressive worldviews have been won by the latter, and our nation needs to make a decision which direction we will go. Currently, there still seems to be enough believers who are positive to the word, and enough apparently so that the Lord is holding things together for the moment. Human viewpoint cannot solve our problems, and it is responsible for the downtrend in our nation. Mature believers must use the doctrine in their soul and a confident reliance on Jesus Christ for guidance and protection, and never forget God's amazing grace. We need to have Bible doctrine loaded and ready for fire in the application of the problem-solving devices. The believer guards the Word of God by taking a stand for it before men. You will tolerate those who disagree, but you can never tolerate their actions if they violate the standards of Scripture. Your loyalty to the Word of God will fulfill Paul's mandate to keep on having inner happiness. For those who have made that advance and for those who are well on their way, you will have the inner happiness that Paul describes in Philippians 3:1 and 4:4. Sharing the happiness of God is said to be inexpressible. Yet the psalmist, Psalm 100 verse 2, as an example, instruct us to do what? Make a joyful noise unto the Lord. And here is an example of how B.E. Warren made the effort to do so in his hymn, Joy Unspeakable, in which he references the words of 1 Peter 1:8. I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free, yes, free indeed. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I am saved from the awful gulf of sin. I have found the joy no tongues can tell, how it waves of glory roll. It's like a great overflowing well springing up within my soul. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory, full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory. Oh, the half has never yet been told. That's the joy and happiness we should have during every day of our life, but certainly in the next 4 months. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Or, put the trumpet to your lips. Like an eagle, the enemy comes against the house of the Lord because they have transgressed my covenant and rebelled against my law. For they sow the wind and they weep the whirlwind. It's our call. It's up to us. But we can have a great time and not get caught up in what's going on in this world. We're going to sing that song, Joy Unexpressible, here, but we're going to close in prayer. Thanks for your poise. I've laid it out there the best I could. I hope it makes sense. I hope you're able to use it this week in the coming months as we get ready to see what happens with our nation. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this amazing opportunity to teach your word. It is my prayer that what was taught would resonate with us, that we might relax and know that no individual will save this nation, and that the only thing that could save us are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, growing in grace daily and doing our duty. Finally, Father, we pray for Joe and Henry as they travel, enjoy their vacation. Pray bring them back safe, rested, ready to continue with the study of James. And we pray all these things in the name of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I don't know if we're going to have the words on the board, but I think they handed out a sheet.